Everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel once again. So in this, I'm commenting on how the battle for the Black Sea is hotting up since Russia declined to continue the Black Sea Grain Initiative on the 19th of July this year. The battle for the Black Sea has intensified. It's so crucial because, of course, it's Ukraine's only coastline. It's a lot faster, cheaper and more efficient to export goods by sea than by land. And Ukraine simply doesn't have the capacity to export most of its goods by land. Grain is its major export. It always exported some grain by land, and I don't have any data, but it just doesn't have the ability to export most of it. It can increase it only a little. And it also depends what you mean by land. Obviously, truck and train is by land. How about riverboat? Well, that's not the sea. But anyway, waterborne transport. A lot of it's going to be waterborne transport. So Russia's attached a high priority to destroying that. Anyway, so drone warfare in and around the Black Sea has really intensified. And that's why there was a drone attack on Russia's main naval base of the Black Sea just this morning, as in Novorossiysk. And that's actually in Russia proper, not the illegally occupied Crimean Peninsula, which of course pertains to Ukraine. Ukraine allegedly used sea drones. Now, this has all come from the Russian government. It's almost certainly true. Why would they say this if it weren't true? Novorossiysk is the major port on the Black Sea, and it's actually overall one of Russia's biggest ports. Not as big as St. Petersburg, obviously, or maybe Arkhangelsk. But anyway, these unmanned sea drones, they try to attack naval ships. And according to Russian side, there were no damages or losses to the Russian side, which of course might be true. But the Ukrainian sources claim that one of the sea drones, it damaged a Russian landing ship. Because you damage any ship is good news, but why would you damage a landing ship? Probably not the best target, it might be just accidental, because there's very little chance of the Russians affecting any landings in Ukrainian territory. They did some right at the beginning of the war, and they've just not even tried ever since. They're very much on the defensive, and seaborne landings are very tricky operations, I am told. And the chance of it going wrong is quite high. The casualty would be very high indeed if it goes wrong. Often be able to evacuate, even if the landing is successful. Supplying and reinforcing them, that is a real headache. I don't know if that's true or not, what Ukraine said about that. But anyway, the Caspian Pipeline Consortium has an oil terminal at Novorossiysk, and it is a major entrepot for exporting Russian oil and indeed Kazakh oil. And when the Ruskis were displaced with Kazakhstan in 2022, they found some spurious ground on which to discontinue Kazakh exports for a while. Then they resumed them as a way to punish Kazakhstan, to show we've got our hand on your windpipe, don't poke the bear, or there'll be hell to pay. Because, of course, the great majority of Kazakhstan's export had come from oil and gas, and some of that goes out via Russia. Let me see. And so the same day, the Russian Defense Ministry claimed that they downed 13 Ukrainian drones over Crimea, but they didn't sustain any damage or casualties on their side. Now, this is also getting a little bit far-fetched. Astonishingly, the Ukrainian drones are so bad. In a way, that's a good thing for Russia to say, well, we've managed to inflict so many losses on the enemy. On the other hand, it might be a little bit worrying for them. The Ukrainians have got so many drones. They're regular attacks, like at least several drones, almost every day on Russian territory or Russian-held territory. So they just keep coming. However, there is a claim that an oil depot near Feodosia was set on fire, probably by a drone. Again, that might be bogus. This claim and counterclaim can't disentangle. We may never know the truth. But the truth is maybe sometimes it's somewhere in the middle between the two sides. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes one side is lying and the other side is not. So they've plotted up these attacks. So there seem to be maybe some sort of unspoken truce of not to raise the intensity too high to not jeopardize the Black Sea Grain Initiative. But Putin has ended that because he wants to break Ukraine financially and impose too much of a financial burden on the European Union. We're already giving Ukraine a subvention to the tune of 6 billion euros a month. Now that might become politically unacceptable, electorally disadvantageous to advocate for that in the European Union. And there's been an advocation for reducing or indeed ending this subsidy to Ukraine by some French politicians. Of course, Russian propaganda is very keen to play up corruption in Ukraine, talking about it being stolen. And that's not entirely bogus either. or some of the weapons gifted to the Ukrainians and then resell to mafia groups. And again, there might be a grain of truth in that. But anyway, so what are we to make of all this? And obviously Izmail, that Ukrainian fluvial port on the Danube, is another export route, because it can go down the Danube to Tulcea, which is a Romanian port, or all the way up the Danube as far as Germany, and be landed in various river ports, distributed by truck, by train, to the European Union and beyond. So that's an arterial route for commerce. But anyway, so that's very close to Romania, Izmail, therefore a NATO member. Now, Russia's been using these Iranian-manufactured drones because they're cheap, because Russia can't make enough drones themselves, not cruise missiles. These drones have a rather small warhead. The idea the explosion won't be so huge, it'll go into Romania. They're not terribly accurate, apparently not dreadful either. But there's obviously a chance that one of these is going to hit Romania. I think it's just a matter of time. Sooner rather than later, it's going to go into Romania, or indeed be shot down when some of the debris land in Romania. But I suppose the Russians have said, well, when this happened and some debris landed in Poland, NATO did nothing. Therefore, we can do it. We can get away with it. And obviously cruise missiles are very expensive, like the Kinjal ones. There's fighting everywhere. So it's a bit worrying for the Russians, but there really seems to be very little chance the Ukraine's going to break through to Melitopol or Mariupol, Berdyansk, or anyone on the Sea of Azov, because that would be the obvious way to cut the land corridor between Russia and the illegally occupied Crimea. Because they've been fighting for 2 months now. They've got about another 3 months, well, maybe slightly more, 3.5, till the weather closes in. And I just don't see them being able to do this. So, it continues apace. So what are we going to do? How are we going to feel about this in the run-up to Christmas time? What was all the military aid for? And there really would just be no end in sight, and a certain war weariness will set in. But anyway, there's regular shelling between the two sides, in eastern Ukraine. But the Ukrainians are making very little headway. Another fascinating development was Belarusian military helicopters allegedly crossed into Poland's airspace the other day, and Poland didn't shoot them down. And the two sides are at attack is drawn. If they do, it's a military ally of Russia. Well, Russia said to say this is a war. But, you know, if you don't, they're just going to do it again. They'll break your boundaries by an inch, and then further and further and further and further, and test your resolve. What can they get away with? And, of course, they'll lie and lie and lie, no matter how absolutely overwhelmingly probative the evidence, saying, no, not us. It was faked. Fake news. You made it up. No, you did it to us. They will always do that shamelessly and unblushingly. So how is that going to develop? The other weapon they've got is illegal immigrants. For example, I know a Congolese who went through Belarus to Poland, crossed over illegally. The Belarusian authorities did nothing to stop her, see that she was a problem opposing the European Union, and then went all the way over land to France, claimed asylum there. So they can try and weaponize illegal immigration, as they did before in 2020, 2021, to try and penalize the European Union for supporting the democratic opposition in Belarus. Would Belarus actually get drawn in and actually fight in this war in Ukraine? I'm a bit surprised it hasn't happened already. If push comes to shove, they could do that. Putin will see that as another source of troops. I don't see any end to the fighting in and around the Black Sea. They both don't wreck each other's trade. How far could Ukraine do push this? Could they wreck oil facilities in Novorossiysk? Could they sink an oil tanker? That would make oil and gas prices go up higher, which would be bad for their NATO allies. So probably not, even though that would damage the Russian economy, damage Western economies maybe just as much. The channel, goodbye.